This is Talk to the Experts, a paid presentation from experts in their field. Unless otherwise identified, the guests on the program are employees of or otherwise represent the advertiser. The opinions expressed are those of the advertiser and do not necessarily reflect the views and policies of News Talk 770.
I'm Whitney Dean. You're listening to Talk to the Experts on News Talk 770. And when it comes to schooling in Alberta, the nice thing is that you do get a choice in where your child goes. So there's public schools, most people are familiar with, separate schools, charter schools. You also have private schools and home education. And we want to spend some time on the last ones today. And we're going to talk about who private schools are, who goes to them, how much do they cost. I know that's a big one because people, I think about them, wonder if they could do it too, and I'm going to tell you, you can. It is easy enough. And that also, why parents choose to go to these schools. So we'll profile a few of them as well and find out more about them. They all fall under the Association of Independent Schools and Colleges of Alberta, or AISCA. You may have heard of them. You can find them aisca.ab.ca. So in studio today, we have Diana Stin, and she is with Phoenix Foundation, or Phoenix Education Foundation. You can find their website. phoenixfoundation.ca. Diana's here. Hello, Diana.
Hello, my dear.
Hi. And then we also have Summit West and Independent School Calgary. Brad Masterson is the principal, co-founder. He also is a teacher there as well. summitwestschool.ca. And he's in studio with us. Hello, Brad.
Howdy, howdy.
And then we have Denise Duchak-Smith, co-founder and head of school at Delta West Academy. DeltaWestAcademy.ca is their website. Good afternoon, Denise.
Good afternoon, everybody.
Okay, so private schools, when it comes to that, there has been a lot of talk lately about how it's the elite that go to private schools, that this is something that's not deserving of Alberta education funds, that you're taking away from public schools. I know, Diana, you know a lot about how funding works for private schools. So how does it work?
So basically, in the province of Alberta, everybody pays taxes. Mm-hmm. I pay taxes, you pay taxes, everybody pays taxes. And that goes into what's called the public purse. Well, out of that public purse, then our government has decided that students should have some support and should have an education. So what ends up happening is that if you happen to be part of the public system, and that's public, separate, charter, then the government pays for your entire amount for you to go to school. If you happen to be part of the independent system, then the government subsidizes or only pays a small portion of the total cost. So the total cost is actually approximately $13,000 per student to go to the public system. And Alberta Education provides basically $5,000 for independent schools. So the difference then is made up by parents or the community, by donations or fundraising. So that's basically how private schools are funded.
So are you taking dollars away from public schools? Because that's always the argument. I can see you steaming already.
No, we're not. Because there are 34,000 students in the independent system. And those students, if the independent system didn't exist, there might be some schools who were able to continue on and those students would carry on, but the vast majority of those students would have to move into the public system. And so instead of it costing the public purse $5,000, it would cost over $13,000. And that fee doesn't actually include any of the capital that goes on. Because as independent schools, we all provide our own buildings. We also provide our own transportation. And our teachers are not part of the publicly funded pension program. So really, the cost is actually much higher for a public education.
Okay, so let's address another one, which is, and I think it's a stereotype of private schools, that it costs a lot of money, that, you know what, as a family, I don't think I'd ever be able to afford that. But when you look at these tuitions, they are very affordable. It just depends on the schools and the directions that you're wanting to go.
Absolutely. So as an example, Phoenix is one of two private schools in the province that charges no tuition.
No tuition.
No tuition. Yes. very clearly, one more time, no tuition. So then there are schools, for example, like Delta West, whose tuition is all-inclusive. So, for example, you do not pay additional fees for field trips and things like that. Once you've paid your flat rate, then everything is included. So it just depends on how much it costs for that private school to operate, their building, their rent, their heat, you know, things that are kind of inducive to a good education.
Yeah. Okay, so then, Brad, who oversees you? Who looks at your financials? How does that work? Are you able to just do whatever you want?
Oh, I wish. No, we are held to the same high standards as any other educational facility in Alberta. Excuse me. So we have audited financial statements. They're overseen by Alberta Ed as well. They come in and they actually do monitoring. So they come in at any time. They can come in and check out student files, check out our financials, anything like that. And so long as we provide it and we've done it and we're up to snuff, then we've met the same standards as any other school in Alberta.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And Denise, I wanted to ask you then, how do you know that you're being successful with the students? Is there any outside body or testing that happens that holds you accountable with how your students are doing then?
Basically, it's parents. It's the same thing if you're going to go shopping somewhere. If the parents are not happy, then they leave. So not only are we accountable to Alberta Education, and we're monitored and audited financially every year, but then we are responsible to our parents and our students. So if we are not successful, then they leave. And that's a pretty big hole to fill when a student leaves if they're not happy. And it's word of mouth, and it's very important to maintain those skills and make sure that we are being held accountable for everything we do, right from our financials to our testing. We do provincial exams. Our students get into universities. We have 100% success rate with all our grade 12s going to the universities of their choice. So we're really pretty proud of those numbers.
And then who oversees your curriculum or makes it up? What kind of standards do you have to meet for curriculum?
Absolutely. We are required to teach the Alberta Program of Studies in order to be funded. So we must teach the Alberta Program of Studies. We must have certificated teachers that are certified by the province. And then we must meet all legislative standards as well as all municipal standards. And in addition to that, of course, we submit 3-year plans participate in the accountability surveys, which is the same thing that goes out to every other school in the province. And again, as Denise was saying, those are the high standards that we have to meet. They show that our schools are safe and caring. They show that our parents are actively engaged in our schools. They show that our students are successful as citizens of the world and are prepared for the world of work. Mm-hmm. So absolutely, Alberta private schools do a great job. They're a good system, and they're always getting better.
When I've talked to private schools before, because they've had you on before, a big pillar that seems to be common amongst everyone is that parent involvement part. Why are parents so involved with private schools, and why do private schools want parents so involved? Brad, you want to take that?
I think ultimately these parents are making a big sacrifice already on the financial side of things, depending on, again, tuition, whether it's paid or not. Similarly, I think in a perfect world, be it public or private, you want to have the parents involved. Mm-hmm. Having the child, the school, and the home or the parents is kind of sets up a beautiful little triad. And when those things are all in communication, everybody's in cahoots, that's when you have the most effective model to forward any human being as they grow and as they develop.
Yeah. And Denise, I feel like you guys have a very open door for parents as well to be involved.
Huge. I mean, we're just about to have parent-teacher interviews, and I know that lots of schools do that, but they're cutting back. Ours are mandatory. It's just not an option that you send your child. You have to come and participate. And on a weekly basis, every Friday, we send out curricular emails to all the parents so they know what their students do. Our parents and our students use a program called Edmodo, and that's where students and parents can check in. It's kind of like for the public system, D2L. The only difference is parents have to sign in, and they have to check off every week that they've looked at what the students are doing, and they have to respond. So we know that they're engaged, as well as we have open communication that we want them to come in and volunteer and be there as often as possible. So we really relish having them around supporting us and supporting their child at school each and every day.
Yeah. Okay, I want to learn a bit more about each of these schools. And so first up is Diana Stinn. She's co-founder with the Phoenix Education Foundation. Their website, phoenixfoundation.ca. That's phoenixfoundation.ca. Okay, Diana, Phoenix Foundation. Many people may have seen ads before it as well, or informational programming on it. It is supporting people who are doing homeschooling.
Yes. And no. So we offer two programs.
Yeah.
One program is our school-directed program, and then the second program is home education. So the difference between the two programs, if you're doing a home education program, you as the parent are responsible to design it, to implement it, to evaluate it, and so on. And we basically just report on it twice a year and follow the home education regulation for that. If you're doing a school-directed program, and that's where we're really cool, is that we offer what's called blend ed education. So it's a unique combination of online, on-site, and in the community. The students work through a similar type of program, as Denise mentioned, but we use what's called Schoology. So it's the number one North American award-winning educational platform, and that's where we put our courses that are based on the Alberta Program of Studies. So everything goes on there. Kids do all the courses and all the subjects through there. But then we also offer unique on-site programming, and kids come to that as well. So, and we have this amazing, amazing thematic studio. Right now it's going to be space with a steampunk twist. So very cool. Anyways, but the kids are in there for 5 weeks, and they're taking language arts, math, science, social studies, wellness, and fine arts. And they do it all inside of the studio in addition to what's on site. So some kids might be coming every day. Some kids might be coming in the morning. Some kids might be coming in the afternoon. Some kids might be coming Tuesdays. Some kids might be coming Thursdays. So it's very individualized. They come for classes. They come for field trips. They do everything online. And then, of course, customized resources as well. So a very customized program.
And then what does that allow for kids? I would think that it allows for them to go at the pace that they want to go at.
Right. So we have some kids who go Zoom, Zoom, and are able to work as fast as they can, and they power through things. Other kids are struggling, and they need a bit more time in order to have mastery over a group of objectives. And so this allows them to take the time that they need to have that mastery. But they can also do it where they do private work one-on-one with their teacher, or they could do small group setting, or they can do large settings. So it just depends on the student and what kinds of needs that they have.
And the environment is very different than just rows of desks and sitting with a teacher up at the front with a studio. And I think you have a cooking area.
Yeah.
And you have the carts that bring all
Absolutely.
The different programs.
Yeah. So our environment is very fluid and very flexible. The teacher moves to various different parts of the building depending on what's being taught that day and what the need is for the students. It is a very flexible environment. It's very creative. We have 5 resident artists, so the place is hopping and always changing, and things are different. Every time these guys have come to the school, we participate in what's called CAPS, which is the Calgary Alliance of Private Schools, and we go to each other's schools for dinner and sharing and networking and professional development. But when they come to Phoenix, it's always different.
So then what does this allow for parents and students who maybe just weren't finding a match in that traditional program? Why do they come to you?
They come to us for a variety of reasons, and it's going to be the same, and you're going to hear the same thing for every independent school.
Mm-hmm.
They come for a variety of reasons. Our families come because of their kids. So the child might need a more advanced academic program, which we can provide. They might need a slower paced program, which we can provide. They might be a little bit quirky and unusual, and they might need some extra support to fire their passion or to engage the passion so they go faster and explore that more. Sometimes it's for family reasons, because in our model, you do have to have a parent who is actively engaged every day in supporting the child. And so, like I said, it could be for family reasons. It for sure allows people to spend a lot more time with their kids. For some people, that's a downfall. Just saying. But, you know, for
but
the majority
also
of people,
that area then provides you a place to go as well with your
yes,
kids.
Absolutely.
When you're needing that support.
So at any given point, we have almost as many adults on site as we do have students. So parents are able to connect and network and share and support each other. And they sit together and work, doing math together and all kinds of stuff. So it's very exciting. It is a community of learners. And that is for sure. A huge part of our platform is that we are all learning and growing together. We believe in lifelong learning, and it's very interesting because occasionally you walk into a classroom and you'll see another staff member sitting down and taking someone else's class. And so it's great. We've also had grandparents sign up for courses and take courses with their grandkids. And that really puts a unique spin on things. So when kids can walk in and they are with their grandparent and the grandparent is maybe struggling or not quite got mastery, okay, any technology, that's usually where it's at, then kids feel empowered and they're excited because when they struggle, they oftentimes feel that they're the only ones. But they're not the only ones. We all start at the beginning.
Mm-hmm. And you are one of the few that do start from the very beginning when it comes to home education and support, because you have a kindergarten class as well.
Right, we do. It is a standard, regular kindergarten program. The unique piece about it is that all the families who participate in it intend to do some form of home-based learning in the future. So they might move into a home education program where they're basically on their own and we see them a couple times a year, or they might be doing our school-directed program where they're seeing them all the time and they're on site all the time. But like I said, the unique piece is that it's the only kindergarten program in the entire province for parents who intend to do home-based education in the future.
Okay, so what does that kindergarten class look like then?
Well, it's a very exciting place. We have between 16 and 22 students. Mm-hmm. We have a male kindergarten teacher, which is very unique. He comes to us from the Calgary Arts Academy. And so it's very vibrant and lots of art and very hands-on. Parents are also part of the classroom because they need to understand how to teach things in the future. So our kindergarten teacher is modeling expected behavior. He's demonstrating how you work with literacy and numeracy. He's demonstrating how you motivate your student, all those kinds of things, how you take a lesson and you might implement that at home. Because again, lots of our stuff is done through our learning platform, which is Schoology. And so information is put there, but parents still have to support the students. It's not a complete hands-off. Like I said, especially for the little guys, they need their parents' support to work through the material. So very interesting platform.
I feel like it would take a lot of fear for parents who maybe want to be really involved in the education but don't know how to go about that, just doing the school-directed program especially as
Absolutely.
Well.
Absolutely. I was laughing because Denise was talking about her parent-teacher interviews and how they're mandatory. Well, they're totally mandatory for us as well, and they're over an hour long. So the parent, the teacher, and the student are working together to review the material. What objectives have been covered? What yet has to be covered? Where are they going? What are the goals? What do they need to do to get to the next level? So it's a very engaged process, and I always laugh because 5-minute parent-teacher interview? Yeah, right. No, not happening. It's an hour. And we easily book an hour or more for each student multiple times per year because, again, it's a team. And that's something that Brad mentioned about having the parent, the student, and the teacher all engaged, all on the same platform, and all working in the same direction.
Okay, so how can people find out more? Can they come by to see you guys
anytime,
in action?
Anytime. Tuesday to Friday from 9 a.m. till 3. We're actually open later, but the problem is tours take about an hour. So 9 to 3, you're totally welcome to pop by. We're located at 320 19th Street Southeast, and you are welcome to pop by, and we'd be delighted to take you on a tour.
Everyone talks about your space and how beautiful it is.
Well, it's very creative, funky space, and the space steampunk theme is going to be like mind-blowing.
And you can find out more about them, phoenixfoundation.ca. That's phoenixfoundation.ca. Diana Stinn, co-founder of Phoenix Education Foundation. Up next, we talk more about independent schools. Talking to a school who does self-directed learning. We'll learn more about it. Summit West Independent School in Calgary. We'll talk to them in just a moment. I'm Whitney Dean. You're listening to Talk to the Experts on News Talk 770.
You're listening to Talk to the Experts. This is a paid commercial program. Unless otherwise identified, the guests on the program are employees of or otherwise represent the advertiser. The opinions expressed are those of the advertiser and do not necessarily reflect the views and policies of News Talk 770.
Talking about independent schools in Alberta, and Summit West Independent School in Calgary is one of them. You can find them summitwestschool.ca. That's summitwestschool.ca. Brad Masterson, principal, co-founder, teaches grade 9 through 12 as well. He does a lot, is here with us in studio. Okay, self-directed learning. I think parents think they have an idea about it, but a lot of schools, I guess, put their own mark on it. So what do you guys do with self-directed learning? What does it mean at Summit West?
Ultimately, it starts with choice and giving the kids as much choice as possible. So you'll hear it again and again. Diane had mentioned, you know, very individualized. Mm-hmm. So things like pacing. So we've got kind of three tenets ourselves, our choice, pacing, and levels of complexity. Each student, we sit down with mom and dad, we determine their benchmark. And so there's going to be the high achievers, and there's going to be kids who maybe struggle with math or whichever subject or concept. Mm-hmm. We can sit down with the family, with the student, and come to an understanding that this is what we expect. You should be able to hit this. And so keeping it very individualized. We're not basing how well this child should do based on the norms of the entire population.
And that's interesting, because I think a lot of times for people, when they think of self-directed learning, they think, well, only the absolute smartest kids can do that. And I don't think that's true.
No. And I mean, with us having all the choices that we offer to kids, it allows them to really fine tune kind of their roadmap, if you would, from kindergarten right through grade 12 if they need to. And by doing so, it kind of, well, ultimately, it really helps engage them in how they do what they're doing. It really helps them to understand what works best for them, mm-hmm. Versus what works for maybe a whole community kind of thing. So it's really, again, pinpointing where the kid's skill set is at. And, you know, things like, you know, with only having a 1-to-15 ratio, each of our classrooms, there's only 15 kids in the class. And that allows us to really learn each child inside and out the best that we can. Mm-hmm. So when it comes to doing a lesson, we never stand up in front of the class and do a formal, everybody take out your math books, flip to page 275. We really work down on, well, Larry's snapping a picture. Hi. We allow the kids to choose, you know, do they work? Do they need the teacher's help? If they do, they come to a command lesson. Say, teacher, teach me. If they are all right, they've got a pretty good idea of it, but maybe want to listen in on the lesson, they step back a little bit and work as a task-oriented student. Mm-hmm. So they'll pick some of their work, but they'll still take some of the information, some of the knowledge of whatever concept from the teacher. The next step up there would be working peer partner. I know this pretty good, but I've got some gaps here, but my buddy over there, I know, knows that stuff well. So the two of us, powers combined, we can handle this on our own. We don't even need the teacher. Mm-hmm. Beyond that, then we get into a fully self-directed student. They take their whole unit. We give them the whole unit at one time. There's nothing hidden. They know when the quizzes are, which we call perception checks, PCs. They know there's no surprises. They know everything that's going to be that they'll be facing concept wise, and they say, you know what, I've got this. I can just go off on my own. I'm resourceful. I know where to look, where to research, where to get the information, and I can do this on my own.
That word resourceful, I know, is important, because what happens when the students have a question and they come to you for help?
Yeah, well, no, the big thing is, if the first thing out of my mouth and any of our teachers' mouths is, where have you looked? Mm-hmm. And if they haven't looked in at least a couple, if not three, different resources, then I'm just going to say, turn around and go take a look. And it's part and parcel. It's part of the training of getting them to be resourceful and to understand where to go. What can I do? Because they're not always going to have a teacher to run to. You're not always going to have somebody right there. And this is starting to get them at that level of, you know, it's university preparatory. Mm-hmm. Some of those professors fly through things, and if you don't get all the notes done, or if you even miss a class, God forbid, then what do? Do you panic? Do you try and run and get that professor time in his office? No, you need to figure out a way confidently to find out the information on your own. And this works in the, it speaks to the workplace as well. Mm-hmm. You know, if you have a job and you're standing there twiddling your thumbs because you don't know what to do or you can't find something to do and you're afraid to go talk to the boss because you don't want to bug them, ultimately you're going to get fired. So to be confident enough to ask the question to whoever, what can I do? How can I do this? Or to be resourceful enough to say, I know this needs to be done by the end of the day, so I've got this to do, so I'll get on it.
Okay, what does your classroom setup look like? What does a typical day look like as well?
So Diane already kind of stole our little catchphrase to the community of learners, right?
Sorry.
I'll get you out in the parking lot. The community of learners, so it's not desks in a row. It's everybody sitting almost board table style, if you would, sitting facing each other. Resources and whatnot are in the middle and around the edges of the classroom. Different spaces in the classroom for kids to go work. So we do have self-directed learners, for example, who want a quiet spot or somewhere off on their own. They can go duck away kind of thing. Whereas we have also, you know, command centers. So where maybe there's two or three kids that need a lesson in English. So they can come to me and they set up their schedule and make sure that they're at the command lesson at the same time that I'm doing it. Every morning, every kid in the high school class anyway sets up their own schedule. They have a blank slate all day long and they come in and maybe they got a terrible sleep and they want to just sit back and read a book for the first hour. So they choose to work on English and maybe they're doing a novel study or something. They can read their novel and just kind of get into the day, get going kind of thing. Whereas maybe the next day, it's not a set schedule. Maybe the next day they come full of fire. They got a great sleep or they slap back an energy drink at 8 a.m, which they do sometimes. And they're keen. They want to get going on math. They want to do math. So every day their schedule changes based on exactly what they do. Their job is to manage their time and be responsible for it. And the choice is never to not work. It's to choose what you're working on and how.
How do you keep teenagers motivated then? Because I think many parents think of their teens at home. They're like, oh, how do you keep them motivated enough to, you know, do that work that they're going to have to get done that day?
Yeah, no, if it's not the baseball bat, then it's it's just engaging with the kids, right? And so because I don't ever stand up there and preach to the whole class and hear me all day, I teach every subject in every grade. Mm-hmm. So I never stand up there and preach all day. They would get sick of my voice listening to me all the time. So it's literally when it comes down to it, I'm working with these kids one-on-one. So again, back to really getting to know the individual, the child, and this goes for every classroom that we've got, get to know each child so well, and you start learning them. What do they love? What are their passion areas? What's their carrot? What's the thing that you can dangle in front of them that they're going to do anything and everything in order to get it? Mm-hmm. And one big carrot we do have is our Earn It Fridays. So if they can work, if they can finish their 5 days of work, their Monday through Friday work by the end of Thursday, which is very doable with our system, then they've got Friday off. Mm-hmm. And some kids still choose to come in to continue working ahead if that's what they want. Other kids take advantage of it, and they've got a day with their family if mom and dad are off work.
And does that, I think, speak to also the places we're going in workplaces as well? Less about 8 hours in a chair, it's that getting the work done?
Yeah, manage your time. You know what is expected of you. So being accountable, having those expectations clear and concise, and then, again, managing your time. So come in, you know what you've got to do in whatever time span, and ultimately they are the ones that give themselves homework. So if in one day they've got to do 6 objectives in math and they were messing around and they only finished 3, well, guess what your homework is? It's those other 3 that you didn't finish. We don't sit there and, okay, I finished my math for the day. Okay, well, now here's a worksheet. Go do 20 more practice questions. We don't subscribe to textbooks. We have all the textbooks, new and old. Of course, there's on the online world and there's teachers. All of these things are, we just consider them resources. There's nothing that is the almighty, you know, page 267, do questions 1 through 14, odd numbers, or odd let, whatever, you know, like, it's nothing like that. It's just what works for you. So some kids will find worksheets. Some kids like worksheets. That's great. If that's what they want, you go find them. And if you don't like worksheets, don't do a worksheet. Find a video. Create a product form. Product form is anything, any way that you can show your understanding of a given concept. Mm-hmm. So you could do an interpretive dance. Haven't gotten one of those yet.
It's an option. Wait, I'll try it right here. Yeah, here we go.
No,
radio.
Yeah, thank goodness.
So then why do parents come to you guys then? Why do they come there?
Yeah, and again, Diana really hit it on the head just saying there's a million different reasons. And ultimately, it's just because it wasn't working where they're at. Mm-hmm. Kids coming from public school and other private schools sometimes. And it really doesn't matter. We don't necessarily differentiate. It's more of, again, why are you here? So they tell us their story. We really listen and engage with the child, with the parents. So when they come in for a tour, we want the kid to be there. We want them to see it. We want them to come in for a trial day or two or three, whatever they need to kind of adjust to the environment, to the program and whatnot. And we at the same time are learning that child, you know, what was it that wasn't working? Maybe they were quirky and they didn't fit in socially. So with a smaller class size and with our community, essentially, you know, like a village, if you would, mm-hmm. They're given a chance. And everybody in our school has been given a chance by us to become themselves and not be alienated in any way.
Yeah.
They haven't been marginalized at our school. So when somebody comes in, maybe they are a bit quirky, maybe they're gifted, but not very socially strong. Kids are just amazing. I love the kids at our school, and they accept them. They take them in. They start talking to them right away because they know if they didn't ever get a chance in this environment, they wouldn't be where they were at.
Mm-hmm. So what is the cost for this program?
It's got a range, but ultimately $8,500 to $10,000 a year, give or take.
And there's a lot of fundraising involved, too.
Yeah, of course. And we do, obviously, fundraising, your standard parent council type fundraising. And lately, this year, we've just tried something completely random, and again, to engage the teenagers, right?
Because
that could be like pulling teeth sometimes. We broke the class up into three groups, and those three groups, and they picked their own groups. They did their thing, and then they said, okay, what food do you want to prepare? And so we've got Taco in a Bag Tuesdays, we've got Waffle Wednesdays, and we've got the Hot Dog Boys, right? And so we've got it scheduled, and they go out, they budget, they shop, they do projected sales, break it right down, and then they come in, they actually prep the food, serve the food, handle the money, et cetera, et cetera. And it's just real life. And it's raising money for them. And we use that then to forward other programs, mm-hmm. be it field trips or whatnot, right?
So teaching experience and also a fundraising experience for them as well.
Yeah, and seeing the business side of the world too, right?
Yeah.
So how much money are you spending on this product? How much are you going to make anticipated? How much did you actually make? Where did you go wrong? Troubleshooting. There's a lot of that. And so showing the kids trial and error. And this is something, like I said, is something that we love doing as teachers, is if it doesn't work, you know, don't freak out. It's going to be all right. It might not work. And if it doesn't, it's okay. And I've done things in class. I've tried to put forward different concepts or teach something in a different way. And I got blown out of the water. It did not work. And we sit there and we talk with the kids and we say, all right, give me some feedback. We need to see what went so wrong here. At the same time, what went right and what can we work with?
Yeah. Talking to Brad Masterson, principal and co-founder at Summit West, and you can find Summit West Independent School at summitwestschool.ca. That's summitwestschool.ca. As we learn more about independent schools, we also have Phoenix Education Foundation in with us as well. Their website, phoenixfoundation.ca. And then up next, I want to talk to Delta West Academy. Denise Duchak-Smith, co-founder and head of school at Delta West Academy, is here in studio as well. Their website, deltawestacademy.ca. More from them in just a moment. I'm Whitney Dean on Talk to the Experts on News Talk 770.
You're listening to Talk to the Experts. This is a paid commercial program. Unless otherwise identified, the guests on the program are employees of or otherwise represent the advertiser. The opinions expressed are those of the advertiser and do not necessarily reflect the views and policies of News Talk 770.
You're listening to Talk to the Experts on News Talk 770 and learning about independent schools. Denise Duchek-Smith is the co-founder and head of school of Delta West Academy. You can find them deltawestacademy.ca. That's deltawestacademy.ca. They have an open house coming up as well on April 19th from 10:30 until noon. Good afternoon, Denise.
Good afternoon.
Okay, so Delta West Academy, what got you to, I guess, get involved and start up this school?
Well, every day I came to school and I was teaching another private school and I had a couple of parents said, we like what you do, you should start a school. And I went, no, I don't have the energy. They said, yeah, we really like what you do, because I always was looking for ways to motivate children. Just, I know everybody's talked about it today and the different things we do. And I had worked in public system, I had worked in private, and sometimes you get handcuffed in the things you can or cannot do. And you know, a child just needs a little bit something different. So one day I came in and there was a stack on my desk and was how to start a private school. And she said, I told you, you need to do this. I'm like, fine. And I hooked up with another person who taught another private school and was currently working at Victoria Park School. And I guess the rest is history. 25 years later, next year.
Yeah, 25 years for you guys.
Very cool. We keep doing what we're doing. Our goal was to look at the average to above average child, take them and make them exceptional. I found that when I went in to teach, I would deliver to the above average child and they would go on, and then I'd spend the rest of my day dealing with the children who needed a little bit extra help, and I would run out of time. And I always felt that the average student did not get what they needed to be exceptional. So that's what we started, and we go from K to 12, and we have small classes. Our largest is, I think, 14 this year, and our smallest is 8. They tend to range around 12, and it's really great. Students don't raise hands. Everybody contributes, and everybody gets a chance to say their piece. Nobody leaves a classroom. The other day I got to sub for a teacher, and they were shocked that I didn't let any of them off the hook either. I'm like, you know, we're having a discussion. We're learning something new today. We all have to contribute, and it's very important. One of the things that both of my cohorts here have mentioned is our classrooms are ever-changing, too. I went to do a tour last week, and I was explaining to a group of parents what it was going to be, and I walked in, and it was totally different, and I thought, well, it was this way yesterday. But again, everything changes. Some days we will have roles, but some days we won't even have desks in there. They'll be moved out because the kids will be doing something. Some days we'll have soft seating. But throughout our school, we have a variety of different things, from desks that go up and down to conference tables that the kids will be working around, to tall tables that they can sit and work at and collaborate with, to soft seatings, to bikes that they can ride on and do their work on. We have just an infinite amount of different learning areas for them to work at, collaborate, and that's sort of what we are. Yes, we do teach, but we collaborate. Our kids get to lead lessons. They get to teach themselves some days, teach other students. We go on a lot of field trips. Our biggest thing the last 2 weeks is we are raising chickens. We have brought in little eggs, and we hatched them. You have no idea what it's like to get everybody in the school up there just on eggshells, as we called it, waiting for these little beans to come out. And we videotaped it. And we have a live birth, because we missed one. We came in one morning, everybody's running through the school. We have babies. We have babies. Quick, quick, we have babies. And sure enough, chip, chip, chip. And some didn't make it. And so our grade 12 students, our biologist, went and they dissected those eggs and did an embryology experiment. So everybody was involved in watching those baby chicks, and when they had to go, because we couldn't keep them there forever, it was a really sad moment to watch these little beans get moved down to the farm after we hatched them. So we do a lot of hands-on lessons. We really much feel that the world needs to come to us, and then we have to go out to the world. So we're often out of the school as often as we are into the school. We very much believe that our children have to, what we call it, a self-efficacy, right? The can-do attitude. We don't accept no for an answer. We don't accept I can't or I won't. It's of course you can. What tools do you need to get there? And let's help you get there. And we very much help our children. We always say we have your back, because you are going to falter. And we try and teach our kids that it's not a failure. It's, you have to learn that sometimes you have to approach it from a different angle. And if you don't succeed at first, well, keep trying, because you will. And we work very, very hard on our students on not giving up. That is a big part of what we are at school, is that everybody can do it. And you can achieve your goals. You just have to figure out what works for you and how to get there. And we've had students write their diploma exams on the floor. Because you know what? If that's where they feel comfortable writing, I really could care less. As long as they're sitting there and we're following all the rules from Alberta Ed, but you need to do it on the floor, well, have at her. You know, it doesn't really matter to me. And they're successful that way. And it's really important that kids get to learn that way.
You talked about kids being sad about the little chicks leaving, but I know you've talked about your grade 12 students, and I'm sure you get quite emotional because you really get to know each of those children.
Huge. They bet me every year, my grade 12s, who is going to cry first? And I would say, no, I'm not going to cry. I will not cry. And sure enough, and it's always, and sometimes it's about 5 minutes into the grad speeches, because it's up to me to roast each and every one of my grade 12 students. They're already taking bets what I am or not going to say this year. And like I said, they all take bets with each other as to who's going to win or lose the cry bet, and how soon can Mrs. Dujek-Smith cry. And it is hard. I mean, some of these boys, as I call it, used to be smaller than me. And I had one parent said to me, I gave you my boy and you gave me a man back. And you just changed him. And he was our valedictorian. And he said, when I walked him through the front door, he held my hand and cried. And he said, there he is up on stage and delivering the valedictorian speech. And he said, I never would have thought of it. And now he's articling with a Supreme Court justice in the States. And we are so proud of him.
Nice.
But again, you know, we help our students get what I call wings and fly. But yes, I cry a little, a lot. But
Something that the students absolutely love is the field trips that you guys do. What kind of field trips do you have?
We're always out and about. I know we did Zumba last week, and they were off to kickboxing on Friday when I left. They're going to a Hutterite colony next week. We're just waiting. We're going down to Dinosaur Provincial Park coming up in a couple of weeks. But they're always somewhere doing something. I'm always see the buses loaded, and out they go, and then they're back in. We start, our younger kids are out usually on day trips. Our junior highs will go up to the legislation, up to Edmonton, and trips like that, a little longer down to Frank Slide, that sort of stuff. Followed by our grade 12s who will go to Cuba. We do an exchange program with Cuba. We also, 1 year we combined Cuba and the Winter Festival. We have a teacher from Montreal, and he thought it would be great if we could fly to Cuba and on the way back stop for 4 days in Montreal. It was a great packing experience from bikinis to parkas, as they told me. But they had a great time, and it is huge. And one of the things we do with our grade 10s, too, is we take them to Los Angeles to the Museum of Tolerance. It's about man's inhumanity towards man, and it is a really big part of who we are at Delta West, that we're all equal. And I think my proudest moment as an educator, and I think as a co-founder, is a few years ago, we were in a room of 450 students, and Terrence Roberts, who is my idol, he was one of the original eight from Little Rock, Arkansas, and he was speaking to the kids, and one of our students had their aha moment, but it was because one of the other students stood up, and, you know, we get to ask each other questions and dialogue with them, and they said, you have to tell us how you do it. And they said, do what? And they said, look, you're all sitting together. And he goes, okay. And he goes, no, well, you're all sitting together, and we're looking, and we didn't get it. And Terrence Robert had this big smile on his face, and I'm looking, and I'm trying to figure out, and he goes, you are all sitting together. And I'm going, I don't understand it. And our student goes, I don't get it. He goes, well, look at us. And we're looking, and we go, okay. And he goes, well, you have the African-Americans sit here, and the white kids sit here, and the Hispanics sit here. And he goes, you all sit together. And he goes, how do you do that? And we're going, but that's who we are. We very much work on being together, that we all support each other. And it's not about your differences. It's about who you are as a person and who you're going to become. And that was just so proud for me, because I thought, you know what? That's what Delta West is. We all come together, we work together, we explore together, and we are there together. And one of our grade 12 students who graduated 3 years ago came back the other day, and he said, you know, there's a DWA lunch club at U of C. And I said, what? And he goes, well, yeah, we have to get together once so we can have lunch together. He said, that's how we get through. He said, in the kids a year older or, you know, a year younger, we all get together. He said, because we still need each other.
Mm-hmm.
And that was really nice to hear, that they still need to come and support each other and be there for each other. So I really am proud of that. So.
And there's a lunch club that you have also at Delta West.
I do. And tomorrow we're going out for pizza. I take my grade 12s out once a month for lunch so that they can tell me how they really feel.
That could be good or bad.
It is really good. So I pride myself on having an open door. You know, I spend more of my time with my students conversing than I think with... Discipline is not really something we deal with, because we, you know, we have a few small rules, but we work together, and we expect our students to be respectful and mindful of each other and to work on our dragon values. So I love having lunch with my grade 12 students. I learn a lot from them, too, because sometimes they forget I'm sitting there, and I often hear things that maybe I shouldn't, but it's very trusting that they give that to me, and I appreciate it.
And then are you able to take that and work with the parents and talk to the parents about it?
100%. at least once a year, I have to explain to a grade 12 parent that their baby needs to go somewhere different than where they want them to go next year. And, you know, last year we had a student who needed to move down east, and they got a scholarship, full scholarship to Toronto. And he came in one day and he was all crying and very upset. And he's this big 6 foot tall boy, like, what's the matter? And he goes, my dad won't let me go. I said, won't let you go where? And he goes, he's saying I have to stay in Calgary. I have to stay close by. I'm like, but you got a full scholarship and you want to go to Toronto. He goes, he won't let me. I'm like, I'm on it. I said, I am on this. And we sat down, had a very long talk, and I made his dad cry. And I said, you know what? 3 years from now, you're going to tell me to let my son go. So we're going to get it back, but he needs to go. This is his program of choice. You know, he's in a very elite program. He worked hard to get there. You need to let him go. Mm. So we very much will have that conversation with grade 12 parents. And yes, it's hard for me to let it go. I can only imagine. And I kind of got it back 1 year. I used to laugh at my ECS parents who used to cry when their babies graduated from kindergarten to grade one. I'm like, really? Come on. It's not that big of a deal. And there I was. Yeah. Comes back full circle when my baby was going into grade one and the tears are coming. I'm like, I get it. I get it now. Right? It is a big deal. And, you know, so every year when I see those guys go off, it's emotional.
So then, well, I guess, what are some of the stories that you hear of where those students go after Delta West?
Oh, they go all over the world. We have one of our students just came back. He just did his volunteering at a school. He's going to be a teacher. And he sent me this letter about 2 months ago saying, can I come volunteer? I have something to tell you. And I went, okay. And he said, you were right, as always. That's my running joke at school. Mrs. Jicksmith is always right. I am only wrong once a year, but that's it. And then it's usually because I was right to begin with and I didn't catch it the first time. He went into financing because his parents wanted him to. And we knew he needed to be a teacher. And sure enough, he's graduating this year and he wanted to volunteer and give something back. And we were thrilled to have him come back and volunteer in our classrooms. And it's just remarkable when that happens. And, you know, we always have stories like that. I was in my office about 2 or 3 years ago with one of our students who I didn't think was going to make it. He really struggled. And we sort of lost touch with him after grade 12. There was a knock on my door and I looked up and all I saw was a City of Calgary vest coming at me. And I'm thinking, I parked okay. I know I'm okay. And it's like, Mrs. Duchek-Smith. I'm like, yes. And then it dawned on me, this voice. And I'm like, Daryl. He says, Denise. Because they used to call us Denise in our early time. And he goes, I just saw the sign. I didn't realize you guys moved. And he said, I haven't seen you. And I said, yeah, about 18 years. And he goes, I want to let you know I made it. And he said, I have a little girl. And he said, I'm very successful and I have a great job at the City of Calgary. And he said, I want to say thank you. And he said, you were there when nobody else believed in me. And you know what? I'm like, wow. And he's all grown up. I'm like, and you have a baby. That's not fair. So I'm really feeling old. But it was great. And he brought her by, you know, for us to see. And that's really nice, right? When we see that sometimes, you know, they're going to struggle, but, you know, they'll come back and share with us, and that's nice.
Mm-hmm. So what is the cost for the program?
It ranges from about $10,000 to, I think, just over $16,000. And like Diana said, it's all-inclusive, so that's everything. It's our field trips, unless, of course, we go out of country, and it's a little bit different. But that includes everything we do all the time. That's our technology fees. Everything is included there. All of our students have computers. Even our grade ones and twos have iPads, and then from there up they have PCs, and then in grade 10 they get to pick, because some will choose their Macs because they're very creative and go into that kind of programming. But all of our students have computers and the stuff that comes with that, and right, and we have, like I said, one-on-one. I just heard from one of our teachers, we're having spring break come up, and a couple of students are worried that they're not going to get the grades they want, so she's in working with them on spring break, and they're going to come in for that time and keep working. So that's, we have very devoted teachers, and I think that's a common thread amongst all of us, is that our teachers are there not for the pay, because I know we don't all pay on par with the public boards, but because they love the kids and what they do, and totally, because they really make a difference.
Yeah. We'll learn more about that in just a moment. That's Denise Duchek-Smith, co-founder, head of school, Delta West Academy. Their website, deltawestacademy.ca, and their open house April 19th, 10:30 until noon. More about independent schools in Alberta in just a moment on Talk to the Experts on News Talk 770.
You're listening to Talk to the Experts. This is a paid commercial program. Unless otherwise identified, the guests on the program are employees of or otherwise represent the advertiser. The opinions expressed are those of the advertiser and do not necessarily reflect the views and policies of News Talk 770.
Learning about the choice that you have in Alberta when it comes to education and independent schools is one of those choices. You can find a lot of information as all the guests we've had today fall under the Association of Independent Schools and Colleges of Alberta. They have a great video on there that explains the funding that we went over earlier and how that works when it comes to public dollars and then also tuition fees, fundraising, how that works. AISCA.AB.CA, so AISCA.AB.CA. In studio, we have had Diana Stinn, co-founder of Phoenix Education Foundation, phoenixfoundation.ca. Denise Duchek-Smith, who you just heard from, she's co-founder and head of school, Delta West Academy, deltawestacademy.ca. And earlier, we also heard from Brad Masterson, principal and co-founder of Summit West Independent School, and it's summitwestschool.ca. So there has been some talk about independent schools, about the concept of defunding them. So what would that look like? What would that do to independent schools and choice for parents in Alberta?
One of the things you have to understand is that as the independent system, mm-hmm. so that encompasses all kinds of schools, not only the ones that you heard about here today, but also over 100 other schools, that we are a very diverse group of people, and we reflect the diversity that exists in the province of Alberta. So what it would mean to the 34,000 students that currently go to the independent system, well, it would be heartbreaking. You've just heard all kinds of fabulous stories about the difference that these schools are making in students' lives. And I'm very jealous because, Denise, we've only been around 13 years, so I don't have a whole lot of stories about where kids are going yet. But and Brad, even less time. But like I said, they do make a difference, and they change people's lives. Mm-hmm. So there would be a small percentage of students and families who could continue to go and access the independent system if the government were to remove funding. But by and large, the majority of families would not be able to. And that means less choice. Mm-hmm. And, you know, people don't get it until you have a baby. And then all of a sudden you're looking around going, I need to find the best option for my baby. And choice is it.
Especially when you hear about, and it's a word that all of you have used, it's quirky. You know, it's that child that you know that the traditional system is just not working for them.
You know what? There's no such thing as a cookie cutter kid.
Yes.
I mean, seriously, we're all weird. You're weird. I'm sorry. You're fabulously weird. But, you know, we're all, when you go out into the real world, you don't hire your accountant because they draw nice pictures. Mm-hmm. You hire an artist, a graphic artist for that. You hire your accountant because they're wicked with numbers. So we're all unique and special. And those passions and that creativity and those things that make us special are what we all aim to develop. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the things that the private system is very, very good at, is working with those quirky, and I'm air quoting here, kids, and developing their passion and developing them into independent learners who are successful in the world. They go on to post-secondary and they go on to work with other graduates of the other systems to create and make a difference.
And you can hear the passion in her voice, and there's been passion in all the voices here today. Thank you very much for joining me today. I appreciate it.
It was our pleasure.
Yay.
Diana Stinn, co-founder of Phoenix Education Foundation, phoenixfoundation.ca. You had Brad Masterson, summitwestschool.ca, and then Denise Duchek-Smith, co-founder and head of school at Delta West Academy, deltawestacademy.ca. And you can also find lots of information on independent schools on the website for the Association of Independent Schools.